The crazy thing is, we're going to learn in James chapter 4 today that the world doesn't really give peace, okay? There's no such a thing, peace in the world. There's only, you find peace only in Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us this opportunity to sit under the authority of the Holy Spirit. I believe I have prepared, I know, but I believe only you can take what I have to offer and deliver it in ways these people, your people, needs to hear it. Even those that are online watching, God, I ask that your presence would surround them, that you would show them once again that you are faithful, just like we sang earlier. So we honor your word. Your word is truth. The Bible is inspired by you, Holy Spirit. And we honor your word. And we don't take it lightly. I don't take it lightly. I believe the Bible is the ultimate authority. It teaches us how to live. It rebukes us. It corrects us. And it just gives us the right tools to be good citizens, to be good husbands, to be good wives, to be good children, to be good neighbors. That's why, Father, I honor the word, the Bible. The Bible is the ultimate truth. You cannot replace it. So therefore, here in Lenstown Community Church, your word is our foundation. So God, as we open it, may the Holy Spirit take what belongs to the Father and teach our hearts. In Jesus' name. And if you agree, you say amen. I believe the Bible is the word of God. I believe everything the Bible says I am. Oh yeah. I can do anything and everything the Bible says I can do. Unfortunately, there are people out there, I don't want to mention their name because that's like, that would be like making a publicity for them. But we don't need, so certain things you don't have to repeat. But you know, there are people out there that are trying to replace the word of God with some kind of crazy words. There's a new article that came out a couple months ago. One of the influential person in the world declared that the Bible is not the word of God. We can do something else. We can try something else. You know, so more than ever, I'm committed to, you know, live by the, according to the word of God. A place to belong. You know, I thought about it and I realized, man, this is something that happens to all of us because everybody in this world has a phone. We all have a phone. A phone is a great tool. I actually use my phone a lot. I like my phone. I mean, as much as I am on it, but I tried not letting it control me. But it's a good tool, all right? I don't think there's anything evil about the phone unless you let this control you. So what do I want to say? Have you ever left your house without your phone? Okay, that's good. That's really good on purpose, you know. And it's crazy. You know, the crazy thing is you're looking for something online or even sometimes you're talking about something you're thinking about buying and before you know it, you're getting an ad. I mean, I don't know. Let's not get into this. Okay? But what I want to say is this. If we all have experience leaving our phone at home, and that's not a good feeling, especially because our phone, we use it to stay connected. All right? Primary number one, we have our phone, is to be connected. You know, your wife calls you, your children calls you, your work calls you. You know, like my brother here, he's got a pager. You know, if work calls him, dude, work, they need him. He's got to go. All right? So, but then the thing is, we stay connected through our phones. And a lot of people, it's easy for them to get to the stage of withdrawal or panic when they don't have this. Oh, I left my phone. Oh, I got to turn around. You know? I've been there too, all right? Because we love to be connected. Sometimes we feel like our pockets are empty if we don't have a phone. Of course, I mean, I know some people, they've got phones that are bigger than this. But think about it. It's right here. Put it in the back pocket, front pocket, wherever you keep it, in your purse. But at least you always want to make sure this is handy. Why? Because it keeps us connected. You know, now you've got Instagram, you've got Facebook, you've got YouTube, you've got Twitter. You know, there's a lot of those things. I actually just deleted my Twitter account. But, you know, I realize some of the others, I use them to preach the gospel. But I tell you, the less you balance, the more you balance your media connection, I think it's better for you. Seriously. I love it. It's a great tool. I use it. I use WhatsApp. I mean, our church in Haiti is pretty much on WhatsApp, you know. Keep Haiti in your prayers. Friday, there was a big, what they call an invasion by gangs in Carrefour. That's like maybe a mile away from our community. There's a big, it's really bad. But you know what? Friday night, pretty much half of the church was on WhatsApp. They were trying to figure out what to do Saturday because they were gonna have their family feast. They do it every last month, last Saturday of the month. So Saturday was the last Saturday. So anyway, right away on WhatsApp, people were sending message. You know, I met with my pastoral team on WhatsApp. You know, we talk about it. You know, I said, hey guys, I think we should use wisdom. We should cancel the family feast, communion, not do it, and get the cells to do it in their homes. You know, so thank God. I have learned a certain political view you have, just keep it for yourself in private. You know, because, and especially, you know, there's a guy that made a big comment about Haiti a couple of years ago. And then a lot of my friends, they were like, well, we want to know what you think. And then, of course, I made the biggest mistake ever. I went on Facebook and told everybody what I thought. Oh, my goodness, that was really bad. You know, so once again, we use those platforms. Sometimes people post things, and they love likes. You know, especially if I'm your friend or you're my friend. When I see my friend post something, I click like. You know what? As a matter of fact, Facebook's sending me a notification right now. What time is it? Okay, so our church in Haiti is starting their second service. So. So once again, we love to be connected. You know, the difficulty of going unplugged for many, even for a day, is that we can crave. I mean, is that we crave connection. A lot of people, it's tough to fast Facebook for 3 days. I'm not saying for you to fast your phone, your text, but try it. Try fast Facebook. I mean, whatever connection, or your phone. Turn it off for a full day. You're like, all right, guys, if you need me, send me an email. You know, or if you're at home that day, you fast, whatever it is. It's not easy, right? Why? Because I crave connection. And thank God for this tool. Because via this tool, we are able to stay connected with each other. I'm saying this to say what? This is what I want to say. You know, as much as we need food and shelter, we have a need for belonging. We love to be part of something. You know, our need to belong is part of what makes us human. And I was praying all this week. This morning I did, sometimes I get in my office. I love coming here early. I get in my office and I got some crazy ideas. And sometimes I do like a quick live on Facebook about hey guys. And I'm thinking, you know what? Lansdowne community belongs. So I am so proud to belong in this family. You know, and there are people out there that doesn't understand that the church is not the building, but the church is a family. It's a community where you belong. We do life together. We share together. What you have, you share. What I have, I share. We share your pain. We share your joy. We share, you know, every season in life, we share together. That's what the church is. You know, so, but yet, as much as belonging is something that we all need, just like we need food, shelters, and everything else, we need to feel belong. And anybody that grows in a culture or in a family where, or outside of family, they grew up with a spirit called the spirit of orphan, an orphan spirit. You know, an orphan spirit is a very sad thing. Somebody who carries an orphan spirit, they don't belong to anything. They don't belong to anywhere, you know? An orphan kills, steals, and destroys because Satan is an orphan. If Satan would have stayed with the spirit of sonship, man, he would understand he has God, he's got everything. You know? Belonging easily escaped all of us. And that leaves us disappointed many times. But you know, I'm going to send this out this week in my message because we all need to start speaking it. What if people out there would find a community like Lansdowne Community Church that would include them, but instead of just counting them as numbers? There's a president in this country that says, don't ask the country what the country can do for you, but help me out. Ask what you're going to do for the country for its well-being. Now, because I am part of a family, because my children are part of my family, they have privileges as much as responsibilities. So we teach the kids to sweep, clean, make their beds. I mean, we have a day where it's a house cleaning responsibility. Why? Because it's just something we do. I clean the house too. I'm the dad, yes. Mom cleans it. But yeah, you're the child. You have responsibility. Not only cleaning your room, but you clean the living room. You mop. You sweep. You dust. I tell you, nowadays we have a generation that's growing up not knowing responsibility. It's our fault as parents, if our kids are growing up with not knowing their responsibility. Because privileges doesn't come without responsibility. You know? So let's say, for example, that's not what will happen. For example, Ryan will be driving soon. I'm not going to buy him a car, but I'm going to help him out. But first of all, let's say I would give him a car. If I give him a car, if he's a good boy, I give him a car, that's good. But the car, for him to keep the car, he's going to have to work to keep the car. Because you've got insurance, you've got property tax for the car, and you've got fuel, you've got oil change, oil filter change, gas filter changes. You know, all those things requires what? Money. And money doesn't fall from a tree. Some people think money falls from a tree. But you and I know it doesn't. So let us continue to belong. Do your part. I will do my part so the kingdom can continue to advance. Last week I talked a little bit about, it was a difficult subject, but I actually had a lot of good feedback. Because you remember our chat last week? If you weren't here, go and listen to it online. And I thank God for it, you know. But then there's one verse I didn't read to you. Open your Bibles in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 and 19. I want to begin with this verse. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 and 19. It says, this is what the Lord say. Stand at the crossroad and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. This is the word of God. The word of God right now, and I've heard a lot of prophecies right now for the season, and this is one of the verses that resonating in my spirit for the season. This is what the Lord says. Underline this Bible verse in your Bibles. It says, stand at the crossroad and look. ask for the ancient path. There's a good song we used to sing. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Right? You guys know this song, right? Okay? Give me that old time religion. Give me that. Why? Why? Why do we want the old time religion? Because the old time religion, when you read the book of Acts, was based on the Bible. Can I have a witness? The old time religion, the gospel. If we want to do it right, we have to put what we're doing in line with the word of God. It says, look, this is in Jeremiah, the prophet is speaking. It says, look for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. There's three actions here. Look and ask. Once you find it, walk in it. And then it gives you the benefit of that. Then you will find rest for your souls. How many of us wants rest for our souls? Amen. I want rest. I tell you, there's no pills out there that can cure anxiety. There is no formula out there. There is not enough money in your bank account that can give you rest. The crazy thing is, the more we read in Acts, in James chapter 4, I'm not going to read the chapter because we're doing it in ourselves. I would encourage you, if you haven't been, to read it yourself. But we've been reading it, so I'm just going to choose some key verses, beginning with Jeremiah chapter 6. There is not enough of things in this world that can give us peace. The more you have, the more you want. Unless you get to that stage to understand, man, I'm satisfied. Like the Bible says, if I have enough food, enough clothing, you know what? Yeah, God, you're so good. But the spirit of greed, is that me? Sorry. Anyhow. I'm going to read the verse again. Let this speak to you this morning. This is what the Lord says. The word of God. Stand at the crossroad and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, this is the response of the people. They say, but you say, listen to the sound of the trumpet. We will not walk in it. Verse 17. Appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear you nations, you who are witnesses, observe what will happen to them. Hear you earth, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their schemes, because they have not listened to my words and have rejected my laws. This is my prayer for us as God's people, that we would embrace God's word. You see, especially when God's word is offensive. When God's word says, take a stand. I give you a testimony, short testimony. Kendra and I, we had one of the greatest encounter with my brother. He watches online, so greeting, brother. You know, greatest encounter with this brother. He comes, my parents has five kids. I'm the oldest, but I do have an older brother from my mother's side. But it's me, my brother, and another brother, and two sisters. So that brother is, what, maybe 2 years younger than me? Grew up in church. I mean, Kendra was the maid of honor at his wedding. Started drifting away from the Lord. We saw it. And back in the years, I'm like, dude, brother, you're going away from the truth. A beautiful wife, wonderful kid. But because he started drifting away from the Lord, he became dissatisfied with the wife. And I told him, and he started telling, you know, talking about divorcing her and all that stuff. I'm like, dude, this is wrong. This is wrong. I mean, it was a tough thing to do, especially your brothers. Sometimes when you take a stand for what the truth says in love, in love, not in judgmental way, but in love, though people like that can hate you. Truth will always sound like hate for those who hate truth. I'm going to tell you again. Truth will always sound like hate for those who hate the truth. So if you hate the truth, when somebody tells you the truth, guess what? You're going to think they hate you. That's why you and I, we need to be wise of the time, the timing. Because sometimes, even if you know the truth, it might not be the time to speak the truth. Wisdom. Right? Well, this is truth, yeah. But then maybe they're not ready for it. So anyhow, so I told him, and then one of the declaration, he's like, he said, don't ever, well, then of course he divorced his wife and was going to get married. But then I knew it wasn't, I couldn't support that. I'm not saying I couldn't support the divorce. It's the way he did it. And, the guy was running away from the Lord and he wanted, he hurt her. I saw it. And then I told him, I said, dude, come on, brother. It can work. Didn't listen. Then he's getting married. Of course, now he's inviting everybody. I'm like, well, you know what? God bless you, but I just know you're doing the wrong thing. Because this woman you're living is the right woman. She's godly, but it's because you're running away from the Lord, so therefore, you're not listening. All right. Cursed me, told me, don't ever talk to him again. He says, don't you ever talk to me. He divorced me too, as a brother. See, in a family, you can't divorce each other. I can't divorce my brothers because I didn't choose my brothers. I choose my wife. We're going to spend the rest of our life together. But my sisters, my brothers, my mom, my dad, I didn't choose them. So therefore, there's no divorce. So when there is a conflict, we're going to fix it. When there's a trouble, when there's misunderstanding, we're going to talk about it. But the worst, the crazy thing that happened, people don't like to talk about issues. I don't know. For some reason, I love talking about issues. You know, because that's the best way to resolve them. I'm not afraid of conflict, even if I'm wrong, because there are times I'm wrong. But yet, I have to admit, you know what? I blew it, and I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? Because, why? The Bible says, without peace with everybody, no one will see. Without holiness and living at peace with everyone, none of us will see the Lord. Guess what? I live to see the Lord, me. This is my goal. Every day, I want to enjoy life. So I didn't talk to him. I'm like, okay, your wish. Did it hurt me? Yes, it did. But I didn't see him for 3 years. And then February 2018, I got a message from him. I got a message saying a big, long email. All right. Well, maybe we got to get in the way. Anyhow, a big, long message saying, you know what, brother? I get it. Now. 3-4 years later, he's like, I'm so sorry. He met the Lord. He met Jesus. Somewhere in his life, through tough time, he met Jesus. Oh, man, that's not good. Should I just use the handheld? So he met the Lord. And I'm like, guys, I'm reading this email. I'm crying. I call Kendra. I'm like, man, look, this is something I've been longing for. I've been waiting for my brother to return. Guys, God is the God of restoration, of restitution. No matter what, He doesn't hold our past against us. So therefore, we have no right to hold people's past against them. We have no right to hold people's past against them. Because our God, He's a forgiving God through the blood of Jesus. When He looks at you, He looks at you. He's like, you know what? You're forgiven, son. You're forgiven, daughter.
And God has restored my relationship with my brother. Me and my brother, we're really good. And it's been, what, 3 years since we see him? And we drove up for Thanksgiving. Man, it was amazing just to witness the change. If anyone is in Christ, therefore, he's a new creation. That verse is real. Anyone who is dwelling, anyone who is one with Christ, through the word of Christ, their life will change. You see, this is not magic. If anyone give the Holy Spirit the chance in their life and accept the word of Christ, their life will change. And that's why Paul says, and I'm going to repeat him, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Oh, I'm not ashamed of the good news. I'm not. I'm so proud of the good news because I know it is the power of God that sets us free. And this is not something I'm just repeating. I experience it in my own life because I see the more chance I give to the Holy Spirit, the better I become. I become more like Him and I see the same work happening in other people's life. My brother is a testimony. I saw it. Now, of course, he paid the consequences. Of course, he regrets. Of course, there are things he can't undo. But guess what? God is a God of restoration. And when he restores brand new. When God restores something, I mean, I don't know for you guys here. Yeah, they do, but sometimes I've seen cars that are repaired here. Like if your car hit something and your bumper, they replace the bumper. Man, those guys, they do a good job. But in Haiti, we've got those shabby garages that does a repair, and the repair is ugly. And when you see the car, you're like, man, whoever did this job, he did a very poor job. God does, it's not like that. When God repairs, when God restores, I mean, it's like it looks better than brand new. It's like, whoa, man, this is like brand new car, except it has 100,000 miles. That's how God does it. You know? So let us look for the way of God as kingdom citizens. You know, truly, I believe the church in the world, but the, for instance, in Haiti or in America, we are standing at a crossroad. The church is standing at a point where they need to look for God's way. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 6, looking for God's way or looking for the ancient path means to look for God's way. Let's look for God's way. Let's look for ways to please our God. You know, today I want to touch some key points in James chapter 5 and 4 because I believe James gives us some key strategies to walk in God's ways. You know, the right path for living is the godly way. The right path for living is to live in the fear of the Lord. The right path to live is to live a life that's marked by God. The right path to live is to live a life in studying God's word. Man, until the Lord calls me home, I'm going to tell you every day, read the Bible. You'll never have time for the Bible. Take time to eat. Take time to feed your spirit. More than ever, Christians are falling away from God's word. It's a lot easier to listen to a sermon. It's a lot easier to listen to a preacher. But you see how hard it is to sit in the Bible to feed yourself, benefit off of it. You know, we face the same decision. You know, going God's old truth way or following a new path on our own. I mean, everybody faced that. We all face this challenging. Man, when I take my glasses off, I don't see, but then I don't see you guys with it. I have a new one coming. Thank you, sister. The only way to find peace and rest for your soul is to walk in God's path. And this morning, I'm going to challenge you. I'm challenging you. Let us continue to walk in God's path. You know, how do you stay in God's way according to His word? James chapter 4, verse 1 to 3 says, quarrels and fight among believers are always harmful. Don't fight with each other. You know, don't talk about each other. In the book of James, we understand that their conflict result from evil desire battling within us. Instead of aggressively grabbing what we want, the Bible says, James said, we should submit ourselves to God. Let us submit ourselves to God. Let us, submitting yourself to God means I accept God's word. In my marriage, I accept God's word. I love her even when I'm really mad at her. I love my children. I support them. You know, even if I don't understand them, I give them a safe place so they can express themselves. I discipline them. Part of love is discipline. Is discipline easy? No. I speak the truth in love. You know, it says, I love James, man. I tell you, I'm so glad that the Lord lead us to read the book of James. I'm learning so much in it. So in chapter 4, we also read about the most common problem in prayer. I know a lot of people, they said, man, when we pray, we ask God for something and God never answers. Let's say, for example, someone is sick and you pray for healing and they never heal. And you're like, well, how come? Well, James explained to us, you know, think about it, guys. If you have a friendship with somebody, the only time they talk to you is when they want something. Oh, I have people like that in my life. I have people that only talks to me. Seriously, I have people. When I see their text says, good morning, pastor, I already know they need something. Because we don't have a friendship. They never out of the blue say, hey, good morning, pastor, how you doing? How can I pray for you? I don't know if you have friends like that. Friends that wants to be your friend because of what you can offer. This is what James is talking about. He's saying people ask God. They never answer. They never get a reply or answer for their prayer because the only time they pray, the only time they talk to God is when they're asking. And what they're asking to please their own desires. They're asking, it's like, oh God, I want this car. Oh God, I want this. Oh Jesus, when rough hit the road, the first name that comes in your mouth is Jesus. Because Jesus is the only name. Through Him, everyone can be saved. Do you talk to God? I asked you already, how would you like it to have a friend, the only time they talk to you is when they want something? I don't know for you, but I don't like it. I wish they would talk to me when they want when they don't want anything. But let me tell you this. Our Father in heaven doesn't like it either. Because God is not a God who just wants you to come and worship and go out there and do your thing. No. God wants relationships. I mean, guys, have you ever had a good friend? A good buddy. You do life together. You share things together. That person, you give the shirt off your back. Because why? Of our friendship. God wants friendship. God wants friendship. You know, I heard last night a friend of mine invited me to a home group. I went, a home group in Chesapeake, the church meet in home group. I went, and that was really good. And one guy was sharing something. He said, think about it. And I actually slept on that. I'm like, man, this is good. This is really good. Thank you, Lord. It's something we knew already. The Bible says in Romans, before we knew God, God loves us, right? Before we knew God, God gave us a way to repentance. So why all of a sudden we became child of God, we accepted the sacrifice, and then we think we have to strive for God's love? You see how backward it is? So God loves me the way I am. So therefore, I don't have to perform. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to have all my ducks in a row for Father to accept me. He loves me the way I am. Can you imagine? When you grew up in an atmosphere that way, like that, you know you're always welcome. You're always welcome. So if you know you're always welcome, when you sin, when you discourage, when life is tough, when the devil's like, hey, you bad you, stay away. That's how it sounded in my own head. I don't know about you. You know, it's like condemning voice. Yeah, you have no right. But then me knowing who I am, I can rebuke him with the word of God. Understanding Father has given me full access no matter what. And this is our position. This is the position we need to take. So if you talk to God, when you talk to him, what do you talk about? Do you ask him only for things that will satisfy your desires? Do you seek God's approval for what you already plan to do? I tell you guys, you already know a lot of my testimonies. This sudden turn in my life last year was not my plan. But guess what? I'm loving God's plan. Is it easy? It's not easy. Thank you, sir. It's not easy. But I'm like, okay, God. Because if I would be praying, there's no way I want to pray for God to send me to America. I don't need an extra house. I've got two of them already. I don't need an extra car. I've got two of them. I don't need a motorcycle. I have two of them. I don't need people. I've got tons of them. I don't need fame either. Because I told you, my name cannot save anybody. I like this. I tell you guys, I'm sharing my heart with you. Do you seek God's plan? Do you seek God's approval for what you already plan to do? And if you do that, repent. Don't seek God's approval for what you already know you will be doing. A lot of people do that. You seek God before you, you already know what you're going to do. Just tell him. And it doesn't work. And a lot of time people fail and they think they're blaming God. You can't blame God for your plan. You cannot blame Father. He's a good Father. Your good Father. God will never lead us astray. He'll always lead us. He wants us to live in peace, at peace. You know, your prayers will become very powerful when you allow God to change your desires so that they perfectly correspond to his will. That's what I want. I want my prayers to correspond with God's will. Is God's will easy? It's not. But the more I accept God's will, well, it is easy. Even in giving, the more I accept to give abundantly, the more blessed I become. Listen to what it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. It says, "Dear friends, if your heart did not condemn you, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask. If your heart does not condemn you, we can ask him everything because we keep his commands and do what pleases him." So when you pray, you don't ask, check your motives. When you pray, you don't ask, check your relationship with him. I pray, I ask, I found. At times, yeah, of course, you know, the will of God. See, when someone is sick physically, you do believe that God will heal and God can heal. But if he doesn't, guess where I'm at? I'm still in faith. The problem is when we pray and we don't see the result, we stop believing because we want the result yesterday. This is what I want. I want it yesterday. James chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says, there is nothing wrong. It talks about, James chapter 4 talks about wanted more. You know, we ask because we don't have, because we pray to satisfy our own desires. We want more. We want more. See, there's nothing wrong with wanting a pleasurable life. You know, living a life where it's comfortable. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, God is a God of prosperity. But don't get it wrong. The missionaries that are living in dirt, sleeping in dirt, sleeping in water, is God still their God? Yes, he is. For 2 years, we served God. When we moved out back to Haiti, everything we had went down in the earthquake. I had hope that somewhere the money was going to come for us to build a house. It didn't come. God had to teach me a lesson. I live in a shed 8x12 for 2 years, about 2 years, with our family. No electricity. I mean, at night, you're waking up running after big rats, you know. During the day after church, it's so hot, 115 degrees, you couldn't go and sleep, take a nap, you're tired. But what is my attitude? I knew at that time, this is where God called me. I knew at that time, didn't have a car, didn't have a motorcycle, no way to go out. Couldn't even feed our family. But we stayed faithful, because God called. I'm going to read it again. The word of God, let it speak. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. My brothers and sisters, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence. I have confidence. You see, now, if my son's heart does not condemn him with his relationship with me, he has confidence. When he comes to me, he's going to be like, Dad, I need $3. Guess what? He comes knowing that God, that Father, is the rewarder. Father will grant him what he wants. I like, what do you need $3 for? It's for school. Sure. I just want to buy a lollipop for $3. Sure. Why? Because our friendship, because he obeys, therefore, he have access to Father's storehouse. This is it, guys. I see Christians, men that are striving to prosper. When the Bible gives us a good recipe for us to prosper. So, there's another one. There's another good one. Since everything God created is good, according to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks. We were talking Monday in cell, at Bernie's cell. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't pray. Like, I don't ask God. Like, so certain things I thank him. I thank God. I thank God for this. I thank God for that. You know, because I prayed, I have asked, but I start thanking him. Lord, I thank you for peace. Lord, I thank you for this, that we need for our family. Lord, I thank you for always being with us. I thank you for setting us free. I thank him because why? I'm already in faith. I already believe that he's given it to me. Faith won't make sense if you're trying to make sense out of it in your own mind. See, it says, but having friendship with the world involves seeking pleasure at others' expenses, or at the expenses of obeying God. You see, do whatever it takes. Listen to me. Do whatever it takes to not let anything else take the place of God in your life. Don't let anything on this earth take the place of God in your life. God is first. My relationship with Jesus is first. You know, people think God is this big dude up there and just like checking on you and giving you a bunch of sets of rules that none of us can follow. It's not like that. Everything God says is easy and it's going to be good for you. The problem is when you start believing the enemy, thinking, man, it's like God's out there for you to get you. No. For God so loved the world. What did he give? His only son. What else wouldn't he give for you? He would give everything to have that personal, intimate relationship with you. Oh man, I love having a personal relationship with the ultimate God, the creator of the universe. So what is the cure, according to James? What is the cure for evil desires? Because James chapter 4 talks about evil desires. I read in Psalm 16 verse 19, it says the cure for evil desire is humility. Humble yourself. Pride goes before destruction, Proverbs says. Haughtiness before fall. Better to live humbly with the poor than to share plunder with the proud. Those who listen to instruction will prosper. Those who trust the Lord will be joyful. The wise are known for their understanding, and pleasant words are persuasive. Discretion is a life-giving fountain to those who process it. From the wise mind comes the wise speech. I love Proverbs. The words of the wise are persuasive. You see, pride makes us self-centered. You think about us. That's why you need to submit yourself. James says, submit yourself. It says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. My goodness, the first responsibility is on you. Man, I wish right here that God would draw near me first. No. The condition is God will draw near to you the closer you draw to him. So the more time I spent with Father, the more time he spends with me. So the quality of relationship between me, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit depends on who? Me. So don't envy somebody else's relationship with God. Because it's not like God is pouring out. Oh yeah, he's pouring relationship. But he's like, yeah, I want relationship with you. But that relationship I want with you depends on you. It depends on you. Everybody has time for everything else beside prayer and fasting. Thank you, Janet, for challenging us. Pray, fast, seek him. Humble yourself before him. Find a community of believers that are doing life together. That's why home groups are important. We are a cell-based church. Get involved in a home group. Let's eat together. Let's read the Bible. Let's pray together. Let's worship together. Let's do it according to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 46. That's how we grow. We grow better in small group. So pride makes us self-centered and lead us to conclude that we deserve all we can see or touch or imagine. Pride creates greed, appetites for far more than we need. You know, a prideful person, you know, I'm going to preach a sermon sometimes in the coming year about our values. You see, our values has nothing to do with the amount of stuff you have. My bank account does not define my values. Mm-mm. My social status does not define my values. Oh, I love it. Pride creates greed or a greedy appetite for more than we need. So how can we get released from pride? Let me tell you this. James chapter 4, verse 7 to 10, I think, gives us about five ways to get released from pride. Thank you, God, for your word. When we live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, then we see that the world's seductive attraction are only cheap substance for what God has to offer. When you live a life full of the Holy Spirit, then you realize, man, the world, whatever they have to offer, is temporary. True satisfaction comes from having an intimate relationship with Jesus. Have you ever seen someone who is so zealous and religious and yet hate everybody? Or yet so grumpy? Man, grumpy Christian is the, oh God, have mercy. A grumpy Christian is the, I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's the worst thing that could have happened to a church, because that would be kind of not nice to say. But you get me. A grumpy Christian, a hypocritical Christian, is not a good thing. When you experience the love of Christ, when you experience the Holy Spirit, it sets you free and it makes you a kind person. You're kind to everyone. Period. You love everyone. You see, when you live a life influenced by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you realize, man, everything the world has to offer is cheap. Therefore, I want the real thing. I love what it says in Isaiah chapter 55. It wasn't in my note. Remember it right now. It says, come and buy. Why waste your money on things? Why waste your energy on things that are just like worthless? Come and buy. Spend time in the Word. I mean, for you guys that still have like teenagers at home, read the Bible with them. And to continue to live out loud your gospel. I mean, the gospel. Galatians chapter 5 verse 17 says, so I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That means you're not being condemned. Because the law in the Old Testament did nothing else beside condemnation. I mean, you remember the law? You had all the kinds of stuff to follow. The act of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warned you, as I did before my brothers, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, I love this, but means here it is. There's hope. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You see, love, it's talking about here the agape love. When you love someone, you're kind with them. When you're a person who receives God's love and you saturate with God's love, you have nothing else to give but love. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is tender-hearted. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and everything each other. So I told you, James, give us four things to follow, to continue to follow God's way, the old religion. The first thing he told us, to humble ourselves before God. Yield to his authority. You all understand yielding. I think I took this example, I used this example here already. When you're getting on the interstate, you better yield. You guys gonna learn how to drive. You're gonna learn how to yield. Because sometimes if you don't yield, you're gonna hurt yourself and you're gonna hurt other people. So you see, you gotta yield. It's the same thing. You gotta yield yourself to God. Picture that. You're getting on God's highway, you gotta yield. You can't just zoom. And there's certain speed you got to yield to. Thank God. Sometimes I think I can yield at 50 miles an hour. Especially in my little car. It goes around the corner like a race car. Sometimes I think I'm driving a sports car. My wife reminds me, all right? Yield to God's authority. Commit your life to him and his control. And be willing to follow him. Number two, resist the devil. Don't allow Satan to entice and tempt you. Number three, wash your hands. You know, we know it. Wash your hands, especially nowadays. I don't know, before COVID, it seems like people wasn't washing their hands. But now we get it, okay? You got to wash your hands. Got to keep washing your hands. You get outside the house, you come in, you got to wash your hands. And some of us, we do it very nice, right? Turn the water on, wash your hands. You know it. Spiritually, let's do the same thing. Let's wash our hands. Meaning, let's not be involved in anything that God will not approve. Purify your hearts. You know, meaning live a pure life. Be cleansed from sin. Replacing your desires to sin with your desire to experiencing God's purity. Oh, I pray this over you this morning. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray that you would replace the desire. You know, it says in Psalm 119, it says, give us a desire to obey you more than to long after money, to long after fame, to long after the things of this world, God. You do it in our hearts. I pray that over this congregation. In Jesus' name. You know, replacing your desire for sin, replacing your desire to not seeking the Lord with the desire to press on. I'm gonna press on. I'm gonna do the right thing. I'm gonna repent. I'm gonna love people. I'm gonna speak the truth. Number four, it says, let there be sorrow and deep griefs for your sin. If we sin, we have the right to come before God and confess our sin. Don't be afraid to express deep heartfelt sorrow when you do bad things. Because you know what? We're human. It's okay. Don't be so hard on yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. God is not perfectionist. It's like, check out, you mess up again. Our Father is not like that. Be at peace. He understands. He understands. There is no condemnation, therefore, for those that are in Christ Jesus. Number five, humble ourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you in honor. 1 Peter 5 says, humble yourself before God. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand, that He might lift you up in times. Cast all of your anxiety on Him. I don't know what kind of anxiety you're carrying right now, but I'm inviting you to just close your eyes and just cast Him over Him. You know, cast your anxiety, your fear for today, your worries for tomorrow. God, we cast our anxiety over you, God. You are our God. We trust you, Lord God. You know, somebody might be facing a hard time right now. But Lord God, we trust you. We pray for our country. We pray for this world. There's a lot of conspiracy going out there. There's a lot of things that are scary. But God, we believe that Jesus Christ is returning. We believe we are at the end of days. So therefore, God, put us in tune with your will. Yes, Lord, it says cast them, cast all of your anxiety. Lord, we enter a season of peace. Even right now in the presence of God, we enter peace, Lord God. We give it to you. No more striving. No more striving, Lord God. I trust you. Yes, we trust you. Thank you, Father. You know, and I love the rest of the verse. It says, and God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. Hallelujah. To Him be the power forever and ever. You know, lastly, my brothers, James told us not to boast about tomorrow. We were talking Monday at cell. Whatever happened to God's willing? Whatever happened to, okay, tomorrow, yeah, or next week, God's willing? You know, it's like we become the master of our life, thinking, well, tomorrow we can go here. Next year we're going to do that. Who tells you you have tomorrow? How do you know you have tomorrow? You don't know. You know, it is good to have plans and goals, according to the book of James. But goals can disappoint us if we leave God out of them. The future is in God's hands. Therefore, I am going to invite God in my future. And I'm going to challenge you, invite you to do the same thing. God's willing, we will do that. God's willing, we'll do this. If any of us knew 2020 would have been 2020, we would have skipped it. So, we don't know what 2021 is going to be like. We don't know what this week's going to be like. Therefore, I trust him. No matter what comes, I know he sits on the throne. I am his people. You know, life is short. We're going to end up with this. Grab your phone, open your calculator, because we all have a calculator. So this is our exercise. If you don't have it, you can do it at home. If you're watching online, you can get your calculator. My age is 43, okay? So do your age, 43 times, well, not my age, do your age, okay? Your age. 43 times 365. So I have lived so far, as we speak, 15,695 days. That's not much. So that's a little, not much. I'm going to do it by hour. How many hours in a year? That's a lot. But you know what I'm, you know where I'm taking you. So, you can do it at home. But this is what I want to tell. This is what James is saying. Life is short. Life is short. No matter how many years, hours, days we live. So don't be deceived into thinking that you have lots of remaining time to live for the Lord. The time to live for the Lord is right now. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and this church, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to transition from this mic to this mic. I'll invite the worship team to come up. So the time to live for the Lord is what is when? Is today. So what's your choice?